Father God, we thank you for this deliverance training concerning Freemasonry and how it's not of Almighty God. We plead the blood over those that are present, those that are listening, and in the name of Jesus, by his authority based on Luke 10:19, I bind every spirit from manifesting in any way, shape, or form other than yawning or a tear. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We're talking about seven reasons why Freemasonry is not of Almighty God. The first is there is an oath required of the entered apprentice or the person entering into Freemasonry. The candidate's required to take a blood-curdling oath of secrecy before he can possibly learn the true nature of Masonic beliefs or what its secrets are. And such an oath being taken is forbidden by Christ. In Matthew 5:34, you can look it up later, but he says, take no oath and swear not by earth or heaven, okay? Also, the promise made to allow the body to be mutilated should the candidate break the secrecy contravenes God's law. It breaks God's law, okay? 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. You know, our temple belongs to who? God, right? And it's holy. And so you need to look that up. In recent years, there's been an effort to sanitize Freemasonry by removing the oath, and the candidates now required to swear a promise involving the oaths of old, keeping him in further ignorance as to the nature of the curses that he's calling down on himself and his progeny or his future children, okay? So number one, the oath is required. That's ungodly. Number two, the secrecy of Freemasonry is the other reason this is not of Almighty God. We're told in Ephesians 5 not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Christianity has to do with light and openness, and secrecy is condemned. There's passages there for you to read, Isaiah 45:19 and John 18:20. But we know that we're to be in the light, not in the darkness. Okay? So that's the second reason it's ungodly. Number three. The brotherhood of Masonry is not genuine fellowship, okay? Although this statement may seem surprising, the brotherhood found in the movement is not of that of the New Testament. Okay, look at A. Number one, the brotherhood is for men only. Now, there is an Eastern Star women's Freemason movement, okay? But that's not true Masonry. It's an offshoot cousin, if you will. Compare Galatians 3:28. When we're told that in Christ there is neither male nor female, okay? So in other words, it's a prejudice. The brotherhood, the true brotherhood of Christ involves women and men and children, okay? And that's where it's going next. It says, no children have any place. And Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. So in the Bible, my point is, when you see, oh, brethren, blah, 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 it's not talking to men only. It's talking to men, to women, to children reading the Bible. Would you agree? That's a true brethren, okay, is who he's saying. And then this next area. Also, Freemasonry is for free men only. That's in Rule 186. Every candidate must be a free man. The New Testament says that in Christ, there's neither bond nor free. Would you agree, even in nations where there is slavery, you can come to Christ and be part of the brethren. You can be part of the brotherhood. It's not prejudice or leaving someone out. Freemasonry is. It's prejudice, and it's leaving people out. It's ungodly anyway, but I'm saying it's not a true brotherhood. Okay, and then look under D. In Freemasonry, it's stated that it's for reputable people, and the apprentice handbook states, every candidate must be, at the time of initiation, in reputable circumstances. In other words, they got to have substance of some kind. They got to have a job. They got to have something. They can't be homeless and joining Freemasons, okay? The gospel, however, is for the poor and the needy, and no one is excluded. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 5:9-11. Also, it's only for people who can read and write. That's in Rule 187 of the Apprentice Handbook. A person who cannot write is subsequently, or excuse me, the person who cannot write is consequently ineligible to be admitted, is what that rule states. But with Christ, anyone can call on the name of the Lord. And then the last point is, it is for the whole and healthy only. No mutilated or maimed person is ordinarily admitted to a lodge. Jesus, on the other hand, did not shun anybody. He healed the sick. And God still heals people today by Jesus' stripes. Amen? Amen? Then turn a page. We're on page 2. Does it help you hearing me speak it and read it at the same time? Amen? Stay with me line upon line, okay? I bind spirits of distraction and confusion in the name of Jesus, and I release the mind of Christ over us. Number 2 at the top, page 2. In masonry, the royal and the rich are always given special favor. But when we look at James, we know that's not the case with the true brethren of Christ. James 2, 9. All these things show a marked contrast to the true brotherhood in Christ. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Ephesians 4, 32. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. In Galatians 6, 2. Okay, point number 4. Masonry is a federation of religions. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Masonry is a federation of religions. Okay, let that sink in a minute. Keep your hand there and look at me. Can you imagine Hindus and Buddhists and Islam and Christians all worshiping together? Let's just take Muslims for a minute, who say that God has no son. You are not brothers if you do not serve the same Father, the same God. Amen? So masonry is a federation of religions. Okay? Masonry is not a religion, but it involves encompassing a federation of religions. A worship in which men of all religions may unite. Masons are worshipers of the great or grand architect of the universe. But the Entered Apprentices Handbook gives the principle that worship may be accorded to heathen gods. The Egyptian god Osiris, the Hindu gods, and others are mentioned. Men of any religion may enter and use their own religious books as equal to the Bible, and their gods are regarded as having equal status with Jehovah. What did God say? God said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," in Exodus 23. And also in Isaiah 45, 5 and 21. So I ask you, just take for a moment the thought of you bowing your knee and hailing praise to another name other than Jesus. Okay? That's what happens in these meetings. Okay? Masonry names God as a composite God. Okay, I'm going to say it this way. For you that are studying this class and you want to do this later, Masonry names God, G-O-D, as a composite G-O-D. G-O-D, by the way, did not come from the Hebrew people. That came from pagan religions. And it was, if you could say it, it was a generic term to keep everybody happy. Like, let's just pretend for a minute, and I'll use myself. There's power in our words. You're a Christian, and you worship Jesus. Pretend for the moment I'm in Islam, a Muslim. Well, we know in our day and time, because of social media, how bad people cringe when you say the name of Jesus, right? Yeshua HaMashiach. They hate that. But surely we can worship G-O-D together. G-O-D, God, came from the pagan culture. And so they imposed it on the Jews and the Christians. And they said, come on, we can worship God together. Because you know what you mean in your heart, and I know what I mean in my heart, so we can worship together. Wrong. Wrong. Because we're not even talking about the same deity. We're not worshiping God together in unity. It's a different God altogether. But Masonry names God as a composite God. The quest for the holy name of God is reached in the 13th royal arch degree, where the name Jabulon is revealed. And the word can only be said by 3 royal arch companions. In other words, one stands up and says Jah, the other one says Bull, the other one says On. You see what I'm saying? They consider it so holy, not one person can say it by themselves. It's not holy. It's not holy. So, of course, I can say it, you know. So, while in the recent years this name has been removed from some Freemasonry, the gods of Masonry have not changed one iota. Remember at the beginning I told you, they say, let me see the exact phrase. They say, involving the oaths of old, which contains all these false gods' names. Okay? So there's a hailing or a praising of all these false gods. As the apprentice says, those exact words, involving the oaths of old. Okay? Now, you might be thinking in your mind, well, how would God hold somebody, you know, accountable for that? Well, let me just say it this way. If you sign a contract for a car and you don't read the fine print, are you still in trouble for the fine print? Of course you are. See, it's kind of like today with updating software. You don't read the fine print and you update the software, they still have a right to track you with cookies. It's in the fine print. The same thing with this, okay? Number six, Masonry and its final, in its finality is worship of Satan. No, wait a minute. Let me go back just for a second to Jabulon. Jah is the Greek word for Jehovah. Bull is the rendering for Baal, okay, the heathen god with whom Elijah contended. And On is the term used in the ancient Egyptian mystery religion in offering prayer to the deity Osiris, okay? So you see how that it's compositing a god of many, many places, okay? It's a mixture. It's not holy. So while in recent years this name's been removed from some Freemasonry, the gods of Masonry have not changed. Number six, Masonry in its finality is worship of Satan. Albert Pike, how many people have heard his name? Anybody in here? Okay. He was the highly respected 33-degree Mason who wrote to those of the 32nd, the 31st, and the 30th degrees. The Masonic religion should be by all of us initiates of the higher degrees maintained in the purity of the Luciferian doctrine. Yes, Lucifer is God. That's what he states. And there's the area that he states it, okay? That's the resource and then page 588. Therefore, Freemasonry is part of what St. Paul calls the mystery of iniquity, which already works. In 2 Thessalonians 2:7, it traces its origins back through the occultic religions of the world to Nimrod and to the Tower of Babel, from where occult and false religion began to be decimated in the world. So number seven, Masonry is deception from beginning to end. Take a deep breath. Father, thank you for lifting oppression right now off each one in the name of Jesus. Just take a deep breath. Bind every spirit of anxiety away from you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the wind of the Holy Spirit coming over you right now. Thank you, God. Number seven, Masonry is deception from beginning to end. From entering as an apprentice, the Freemason is told that he's in a quest. Last page. He's in a quest for illumination. We would say revelation, okay? But he never finds it. And the few who do attain to the higher ranks discover that God's the one pronounced as, that Lucifer is pronounced as God, okay? That their God in Freemasonry is Lucifer, okay? So would you say that's something that a Christian should be involved with? No, because God's having us forsake all other gods, see, and surrender all to Jesus. Freemasonry binds. A Mason has secrets that he cannot even tell his wife, okay? It binds him into secrecy, and we're going to get into this a little later. But not only is he bound in secrecy, he calls down curses on himself, on his family, and his lineage, should he tell. Very serious. God's never calling down curses on us. You know what I mean? We open the door for the demonic, but a good father is not going to call down curses on his prodigy or on his seed or on his children, right, or his future children. But they have you do that. What does Jesus do? Jesus sets men free. See the verse? He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. Let's read that together. We'll say it this way. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's John 8:32. Okay? Freemasonry ignores Jesus as Savior and Lord. But in Acts 4 we read, there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. That's in Acts 4:12. So in conclusion, these seven brief points show us the progression of evil which makes up Freemasonry. And although we're not seeking to speak against any individual within the Freemasonry system, there's no doubt in our minds, that Freemasonry is incompatible with Christianity. It's like oil and water. Does not mix. Not at all. Not at all. We have a jealous God. We do not have a God that's willing to share himself with composite gods. Period. Okay? So anyone who seeks to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and is a Mason has put themselves in an extremely dangerous and impossible position. So this is the advice. Renouncing involvement with Freemasonry and sever memberships. Repent of sin before Jesus Christ and seek the right kind of pastoral help. Now I've got another handout I'm going to be talking about in a minute that deals with some of that. Okay? But in Exodus 20:1-7, the Bible tells us, God spake all these things saying, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make into a graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above or that's on the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, he's saying disobey me, and shewing mercy upon thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord shall not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. You know, we've heard that so much about take his name in vain, and we think about it with somebody, forgive me, using GD. But it's far beyond that. To take his name in vain means to use his name lightly. To equate his name with all the other names. To set him on a shelf with all the other gods. Just add him. You see, that's taking him in vain. I'm not saying Judah is not taking him in vain. It is. I'm saying it's far beyond that. Okay? And so to go to a meeting like this, and again, if you missed my first intro, you know, my grandfather was 33 degree. I come from a line of family that they weren't Leave It to Beaver families and just, you know, grew up going to church and the babies baptized and everybody got saved at 4 or 5 and, you know, just live for God. And that was not my reality. My reality was a father who was, you know, on alcohol and never admitted drugs, and yet we know he did drugs, and did not serve God. He serves God now, thankfully, praise the Lord. He knows God very well, and so does my mom. But the thing is, I was left with people who were the top deacons in the Church of Christ Church, the largest one in the world, okay, for 2 weeks while my parents visited Israel. And while I was there, I did seances, and they did levitation of tables. They did tarot card readings. They did all kinds of things. They called up the dead. We're talking about people who, quote, were Christians, but that man was Freemason. And so what I'm saying to you is when you're involved with idolatry of any kind, it dulls you and opens you to welcoming all these other things into your house. Okay, so right now you might be judging him a little bit, but let me say it to you this way. So you're a Christian. And you didn't come from a Leave It to Beaver family either. and you inherited a bunch of stuff from your father and your grandfather, and you've never levitated tables or gone to seances or called up the dead, but hello, if you've watched it on TV, you have. If you've gone to the movies, you have. You've opened yourself, see, to all those demons, the same demons that came into me as a child as I did those things. You see? It's an act of sin to watch something out of curiosity even one time. Even one time. He never said be led by curiosity. He said be led by my spirit. And his spirit is Ruach Kodesh. He's holy. He's holy. He doesn't lead us to eat things presented to idols. Okay? And I know this is heavy. This message is heavy. It's for those that are saying, God, I don't want anything in my life that offends you. And I don't want anything from the past that's been passed down to me or through me to prevent me from having more room in my heart for Holy Spirit. I want that stuff gone. You know, to go to one meeting, out of curiosity or out of, how about this? Let's get to the reality of this. Out of peer pressure. Out of fear of man. You know, because somebody invites you that's just so popular and just so wealthy and just so powerful. And, hey, after all, you know, if you're a brother and the police pull you over, well, you don't get a ticket. And if you're a brother and you get in trouble and you go before the judge, all it takes is a special handshake. And you don't have to pay the fine. But that's compromise, see? That's compromise. And so it's idolatry because you're looking to something to save you in situations rather than looking to Jesus, see? And so when we see it, we have a decision to make. We either decide, well, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to surrender the benefits of the brotherhood. I'm not ready to surrender to renouncing it and dealing with the brothers who are going to want me to go next month and I'm not going to be able to. Do you know Charles Finney, one of the fathers of Great Awakening, was a Freemason. He was high-level Freemason. And God started dealing with him. He was a Christian. And he started moving in the things of God, but God grabbed a hold of his heart and basically just said, give it up, Charles. And he repented and he renounced. And we saw a full-blown Great Awakening. Because, see, God's not going to allow us to keep our golden calves. He's not going to allow us to keep our pet sins or our pet idols. For the real Great Awakening that's coming on this earth, we're going to get rid of everything. We're going to lay it down, you know, and we're going to run with him, the bride, fully washed, no spot, no wrinkle, full of his fire, full of his authority, and full of his love. Love for him that just, it counts everything else as dung. That's why Paul said, I count it all as dung. I count it all as garbage, as poo, you know. This next outline you received in session 2. I'm going to hand this out, and let me give you a couple of those. Grace, can you help me? We'll get them out quickly to everybody. With these deliverance principles outlines, okay, that you're getting right now, we talked about these in session 2. And if you miss my intro, I just want to say one more time for anybody having any kind of worry or anxiety. I'm going to talk about a few more things, and I'm going to kind of take a short little break. Because this tonight, this is not I'm grabbing your arm, twisting it, telling you you've got to do this. I'm not going to think any less of you if you decide, hey, tonight's not my night for this, you know. But I do want to say, pray. Pray and ask the Lord what you're to do, because it's not coincidence that you're here. It's not coincidence that you're here. Okay, on this deliverance principle outline, these are principles we've been talking about. And so many people skip over the first one, asking people if they're born again. It's important that you're truly born again, you've truly surrendered to Jesus. This type of training is not for those that are not born again. You can get in a lot of trouble. You know, the seven sons of Sceva decided they're going to try to cast out demons in the name of Jesus, whom Paul was preaching about. And they didn't even know Jesus. And the demons came out of the man and jumped on them, scratched them, tore their clothes clear off, and sent them running, you know. So this kind of training is not for people, you know, that are not born again, not surrendered to Jesus. This is for people who are surrendered to Jesus, truly born again. And before you pray for deliverance for people, it's important to ask them, are you born again? Have you repented of your sins and allowed Jesus Christ to be your Lord or the boss of your life? See, a lot of people want him as Savior nowadays, but they don't know him as boss. They don't know him as Lord. And if you remember in the scriptures, it says that they stood before him and he said to them, depart from me, I never knew you. But see, they were calling him Lord. They weren't calling him Savior. And he said, depart from me, I never knew you. I was never your boss. I never knew you. You were never completely surrendered to me. Not you were surrendered and you left me. You were never surrendered to me. And then immediately they begin to talk about their good works. Oh, but we cast out demons in your name. We healed the sick in your name. We did this and that in your name. So hang on to your chairs. It's possible to cast out demons when you believe in the power of his name and not be born again. How do I know that? Because people in the occult, they actually believe in the power of his name. And there's some that will use it to cast the demons out so the person can get seven more. Are you hearing me? So how do I know if you're born again? Because in the Word it says, unless the Spirit of God dwells within you, you can't say Jesus is Lord. I know he's born again. You can't say that if you're not born again. And we've tested it many times. When we've had gatherings and intercession groups, you had to say it at the door to get in to the intercession room. And as soon as that became the code to get in the door, the intercession group went from about 120 to about 40. Because everything comes to church. Weed and tares are growing up together. And I'm not judging anybody that's a tare, but we're not going to have tares in those private intercessory meetings, and you don't want to be doing deliverance on people who aren't born again. Okay? Are you learning something? Another principle is you bind every unclean spirit from speaking and or manifesting. Remember, I did that at the beginning of the meeting. I said they're allowed by the authority of Christ, Luke 10:19. They're allowed to manifest in yawning or tears. That's it. In the name of Jesus, I bind every unclean spirit from speaking and or manifesting in any way, shape, or form except for yawning and tears. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Confession of sin. The person being ministered to prays, Heavenly Father, I confess my sin, my involvement in Freemasonry, and I repent of it. And I ask for your forgiveness. And after confession of sins, you assure them that they're pardoned and cleansed by speaking 1 John 1:9, which says, if we confess our sins, God's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Right? And then Psalm 103 says, he forgives all our transgressions, so you're forgiven in the name of Jesus. And I want to say to you that are in this training, you know, you're going to have people that come to you. They've done all kinds of things. You know, they've killed other people. They've killed animals. They've killed children. They've done all kinds of things. They've sold their soul to Satan. You may ask, is that able to be broken? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. In the name of Jesus, by the power of Jesus, that can be broken. Amen? There's nothing that Jesus cannot handle. Look at this. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing. Okay? The other thing Holy Spirit's reminding me is, what about people who aren't sure they're human? Yeah, I've dealt with quite a few of those people too. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't say, let's get DNA samples. Are you human? Are you AI? Are you a mixture? What's going on here? You know, he said, preach the gospel to every creature. If you can say Jesus is Lord, don't even start looking up your DNA. No doubt there's a whole lot of crazy going on in our day and time. You may not want to know, you know. But the thing is, if you can say Jesus is Lord, you're a born-again believer. Do you hear me? You're a born-again believer. You're dealing with somebody born again. If they can say Jesus is Lord. Renouncing all sinful contacts. Everybody with me? It's the fourth paragraph on this handout called Deliverance Principles for Outline for Ministry. Okay? Renouncing. How's renouncing different than confession? Confession of sin is like this. God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I keep stealing. I've stolen my whole life, and I'm so sorry I stole. God, please forgive me. God is so kind, he forgives you in that moment. Renouncing stealing. That takes a little more effort, doesn't it? God, I'm not going in there to steal anything again. I'm going to slap my hand the next time I think about stealing. I'm going to change my route so I don't go by that store where I've been stealing my cigarettes every day. You see, that takes a little more effort. Renouncing. With Freemasonry, how's it look? God, I'm so sorry I was a Freemason. I'm so sorry I was an idolater. Renouncing is, God, I'm never going back there again. God, those brothers call me and they keep trying to pull on me to go. I'm going to block them from my phone or get a new number. That's what renouncing looks like. Does everybody understand? Yeah, we're not playing, are we? We're not playing. We're getting serious about getting clean with God. So you state it before you do it as an action. I renounce all sinful contact and things that I've seen, touched, tasted, or experienced at any time and any place with any person for any reason. I renounce them once and for always, and I renounce the kingdom of darkness, and I embrace the kingdom of God. I claim the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, my Lord, to wash away all my sins. Does that sound like somebody serious? It does, doesn't it? Okay, Holy Spirit, what he wants me to do is we're going to take a very short break. We're going to take a five-minute break, okay? If you start a timer on your phone over there, 5 minutes. And hang on just a second. Why are we taking a five-minute break? You use the restrooms. There's three right outside in that hallway. What I want you to do is I want you to ask God. See, this session is so pinpointed. This is not about, you know, your past wives or husbands or your past boss. We've dealt with some of that. We're going to deal with some of that again. This is about the idolatry of Freemasonry and all of its tentacles. Knights of Malta, Shriners, all of that. Okay. Maybe you just happened on this and you're like, hey, I've done all that before. This is a waste of time for me. This just isn't the night for you for that. Okay? But before you even go into praying and asking, I just want to plead the blood over you. Because you have no idea the change in your life after going through something like this. And yet, you know, with Freemasonry, you never know what you're getting into until you show up. You really don't know what you're going to say until the next line is told. And you're told to say it anyway. So I'm going to give you, in all fairness, I'm going to give you the outline of what we're going to be looking at. Okay? And so run to the bathroom, come back, look over it. But what it is that we're looking at doing together out loud is a prayer of release for Freemasons and their descendants. So even if you've never been involved, but you've got family, maybe, perhaps that could have been involved, it's highly likely, then you will benefit from doing this. But this is not just a confession of sin. Like I said, I'm not playing games. This is for renouncing. This is for changing course. And we can't do that in and of ourselves, but I will tell you, the Holy Spirit will help you after you do this to do it. To do it. There'll be a boldness, a fire inside of you to do the right thing. So somebody help me with those. Stand at the door. Dallas, can you bring them? Stand at the door. And as people go out for break to use the bathroom, they can take one. All right? And let's say 7 minutes. 7 minutes from right now, we'll start back again. Father, I plead the blood on everybody, and I thank you for your perfect will being done in each life in Jesus' name. Amen. Quick break.